guys, welcome to the Paddler's Playbook.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to podcast land.
Thermal convection, man.
These dudes almost killed me.
You know, redfish are really dumb.
How do you take your marsh dump?
Just full used all my toilet paper.
Bro, stop.
Well, now that Drew's done dragging this on.
TPP 15. You gonna get a dozen shrimp?
Hey, you throwing that cast net again this weekend? Oh, good lord. I almost died.
I do not want to paddle that far.
Once again, he almost died.
I'm not waking up at butt crack dawn.
I'll see you at the launch around noon. I love wake baits. Haven't you ever heard them chatter?
Let me double back here first.
And now, a word from Saltside Jet.
Oh, yeah.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the paddle. Check out our sponsor.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of Facebook land.
Facebook podcast land and podcast land. The entire lands, all the lands together.
All the lands.
The universe and the frontiers that have yet to be conquered. Here we are, the Paddler's Playbook.
To the Chateau de Turner.
That's where we're at, guys. The Bait Butler Chateau. Studio live from Chateau de Turner.
For those of you joining us on the ACK page who may not know who we are, I am Drew Turner. This is Chris Lewis. We are the host of the Paddler's Playbook. And we also have Matt Murphy.
Y'all know this guy over
Matt
here.
Matt Murphy.
There's somebody else here.
We're the team, we bring you in next.
Tell me when I can come.
So you're the third wheel.
You're good, man. You're good. So
that's
guys,
why this is the triple threat.
This is the triple threat. An entirely new format for the Paddler's Playbook. Basically, what we're going to do
is
bump the audio way up. Give me a second. Let me check that.
Bump it, bump it, bump it,
there
bump
we go.
It.
I turned it
bump
up
it, bump
right here.
What I was saying is the triple threat, a completely new format. I don't think I need to put these on just yet. I'll put them on here in a little bit. Or I'll do like Matt. Oh, that. Hold
kick
on.
It.
That drags my Jesus hair down. All right. So triple threat's a whole new format. The premise behind triple threat is that we're going to provide to you guys three fellas, three different perspectives, three different topics, once every 3 months, right?
Once every three months.
So we'll be coming to you guys with new topics once every 3 months. So today's topics, we're going to do a round table. Then we're going to throw it to Matt to talk about Matt Murphy Outdoors. And then we're going to throw it to the bro staff. Of course, we're going to throw some things in between with the business aspect as far as Matt Murphy Outdoors. And then Mr. Turner's got a lot to say about some of his new business ventures. Myself, I've just been a homer for the last 6 weeks, man.
Undercover homer.
And I don't mean like Homer Simpson. I mean like Home Depot homer. I've been playing Bob the Builder for like 6 weeks. I can't tell you guys how to fish right now. But, hey, before we actually kick things off, have you guys had that new flounder sandwich from Popeyes?
I can't say I knew.
You didn't know Popeyes had a new flounder sandwich?
I've heard about.
What'd you hear about it?
I heard it was good.
Man, look, dude, both my wife and I had that sandwich today. We were like, we're going to try it out. You know, the Popeyes chicken sandwich was pretty good. It's way too rich, but we're going to try this flounder sandwich out. And I don't know where in the hell they're getting their flounder fillets from. It's probably not flounder, man, because they are ginormous. The flounder fillets they're getting are like this big, just way bigger than the bread.
You're eating halibut, man.
It's something other than Gulf flounder. But they're saying it's Cajun fried Gulf flounder. I don't care what it is.
It's good.
It's freaking delicious.
Chris, how do you Cajun fry something?
Lots of damn cayenne pepper, brother.
Just cayenne all over it.
Just cayenne. Michelle peeled the top layer of fried breading off, and she was like, oh, my gosh, it's just straight cayenne
it's
pepper.
It's still red.
It's all red.
All I say is there's a sucker born every day. That ain't flounder,
man, come on.
No, you're eating cod. That's the same thing you get at Long John Silver's, I'll tell you.
And the crunchies from Long John Silver's are the best.
I'm just saying.
So if you guys haven't checked it out, man, check it out. Popeyes, if you want to sponsor our sponsors, okay? Give us a call.
I'm all about that call. Spicy chicken sandwich.
Besides that, I wanted to start off with the show with also something kind of I got to go back to our last live show. And, Matt, if you listen to it, guys, I make a lot of jokes, and sometimes my wife will hit me in the back of the head. She's like, smack. And she's like, Chris, people don't understand your humor, okay? Sometimes you're so dry, they don't know that you're joking. They think you're freaking serious. And I made some jokes the last time about drinking and boating. And I need to go ahead and say this publicly. It's not a joke. It's kind of serious, and I hate to start things off with like a serious note, but I got to put that in there. Drinking while you're boating is, you know, some people might think it's fun, but it's actually not really a cool thing to do, especially if you're behind the wheel. If your guests are on the boat and they want to have, you know, participate in a couple frosty beverages, sure, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you're the captain, if you're behind the wheel, guys, cut it out, okay? And I joke about having like 12 beer kayaks, 6 beer kayaks. That shit ain't no joke. I got kayaks that if you drink more than 6 beers, you're going to fall out of.
I'm not a big drinker and fisherman. Like, if I drink, I'm drinking to drink. I'm not drinking to catch a little bit of a buzz and relax. Like
you're
I
going
just can't
zero
do
to 100.
Yeah, like, if I'm drinking, I'm drinking. I'm taking shots.
You're
taking... Like, seriously.
Western Sun,
yeah, we're taking shots. But if we're drinking, I'm drinking, so I don't drink on the water at all.
I find that it takes the edge off, man. If you've got a long paddle, a long day ahead of you, you know, 3 beers is kind of a perfect place to just, you know, get the back pain to subside.
Dehydrate.
No, just get the back pain to kind of go away for a little while. And it's usually towards the end of the day. Kind of like Ben Maldonado takes his photos at the end of the day whenever he's done fishing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drink my beers at the end of the day whenever I'm done fishing. Maybe on the way back to the launch. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. And hopefully you guys are all right with me doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking at myself here on the camera. I'm going to get redder. And redder and redder.
Dude,
as time goes on.
He usually wears his hat backwards, and this spot right here usually gets like so freaking red, man.
Well, if you guys don't know, today Drew and I, we participate in the Southeast Texas Bass League.
Is there any
kayak
is
league?
Kayak league. Okay. Southeast Texas Kayak Bass League.
Yes.
Tournament today on Conroe. And he's a little redder than normal.
I am.
Right.
It was a good day, man.
But
beautiful
it was
weather out there.
It was my first bass tournament, and I finished top 26.
What?
Hey. Top 26.
Boom. Out of how many?
55.
Okay. Hey.
50 something.
Almost the top 50.
I was trying
so.
To get top third. It didn't happen.
And I caught a stick.
That was disqualified.
That was DQ'd. Thank you for Tourney X.
Did you really put it on?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Man, if you throw 10,000 times trying to catch these green fish, which I have a new respect for, right? You start catching bass at an early age. You find your passion, move to saltwater. And then, you know, these freshwater guys, they're the same as you and I, right? They're same
certainly
as
they have
a
passion. They have a passion for fishing. The tug is the drug, as
that's
we said.
That's right. They have the same drive. They want to get these bass just as bad as you and I want to get these big 8-9 pound redfish, right? And I see it when I'm sitting there at the weigh-in with my stick, and they've got inches, and they do things different. A lot of it is not weight; it's length. But the passion's there, and that's what I love. I'm being around people that love kayaking. I'm being around people that love fishing. And if I can somehow niche my way in there to bridge the gap between saltwater and freshwater, man, I'm all for it. All for it.
It's tough because, okay, so you're bringing the passion for, at that point, just fishing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not necessarily the passion for bass. These guys that are strict bass fishermen have, like, I mean, dude,
they
will
live in the bass life.
Yeah, they will talk. They will talk down to you like you are your their subservient.
Oh, okay. No, I mean,
I'm just kidding.
It is,
but they do give us salt guys a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. We give them a lot of shit too.
Oh yeah,
right back. Because I mean, I just did kind of.
We're more relaxed. Salt guys are more relaxed.
As
a whole.
As our homeboy up in New York would say, you saltwater guys, you fish all day, then you go home and you shove lemons up redfish butts.
I don't do that, man. I don't do that.
He's just talking about how we cook them. I don't necessarily use
All I know is I had a great time today driving 4 hours from Rockport, Texas over to Fish Conroe Lake. My hat's off to Southeast Texas Kayak Bass Fishing League.
There you go. You got it right.
That's
that time.
Right. Hell of a name, but we won some great prizes.
Yeah, you check out
the
bag.
Yes, we got some raffles.
Won some raffles. Chris, who runs that page, guys, if you haven't checked it out, you're into bass fishing, you're in this side of the universe of Texas, make sure you check out that Facebook page because, man, I had a heck of a time. They're cooking food.
Yep.
Wayne was at a church. Right, so it
felt
good.
It was fun.
That was just a great time. I can't.
They have some vendors
enough
out there.
No,
it vendors? Was straight up fishing. Yeah. Like, there's no. I'm not selling you nothing.
Yeah,
people are around to fish, weigh in fish, and have a good time and talk. So.
I thought whenever I caught my big bass, I even told Matt
it was on.
I was
man.
Like, I
this
caught
is
it.
Ours.
I got it in. I texted him and I was like, hey. I think I may have
so
big bass.
So what was the big bass?
Well, hold on. So you're I was like, bass. I thought I had the big bass. And I was like, 21 and a quarter. That's got to be, I mean, this looks big to me. It's got to be a big bass. Then I looked at the leaderboard and I was like, I do not have big bass. I do not have big bass. It is not close to big bass.
For all
big bass was?
24 inches.
Yeah,
24 inches.
So 23.5 was winning whenever I checked and I had my 21 and a quarter. And I was like, well, I don't
so
have big bass.
I got to ask you, since you guys went and did this today, did you use any tips or tricks from some of the bass guys that we had on our previous podcast?
I did a little bit on the spring bass episode that we had with Matt Scotch. He talked a little bit about, you know, fishing docks, and that's what I did all day.
Yeah.
I was fishing docks. I was throwing a shaky head. And just trying to drag it in front of anything just
to find
beds. How
many fish did y'all catch?
Zero.
Matt caught zero.
I caught zero fish. The
well,
last
the
two
stick,
bass tournament
fish, is, you know,
they don't count it apparently. I got a message back that said stick fish don't count, and I laughed for like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, these mother.
They don't know what's good.
First stick fish of the year, baby.
Did you just go with just the
I
one?
Caught three.
Three.
I caught three, but I probably missed eight.
Really?
Like, I had two.
The boys after it, he said he was going to start fishing for these green fish. It sounds like he's actually going to follow through with what he said.
And I've got to figure out the hook set on those shaky heads because I've never really used a shaky head. I mean, it's pretty
using
similar.
Braid?
I was using braid. To a like 12-foot fluoro leader.
Fluoro leader.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll talk about this bass thing a little later. I think we've got a question, don't we? Later on in the show.
We should.
So,
yeah, I think so.
I'm hoping so.
So with this passion for fishing, guys, this kind of leads us into our first topic of the roundtable discussion. And I'm gonna start the topic off and then tell a little story, okay?
Do it.
So the first topic is how you get your kids involved in your passion for fishing, okay? It's not always the same, and not all kids are going to want to do it, and you can't really, you know, push that kid into to fishing. You know, they might think it's icky or ooey or gooey or, you know, just not fun. They don't want to sit there and wait for things to happen. But my story is the first time that I took my son for an overnight fishing trip. And down in the Texas City area, there's this place called Dollar Point. Folks that are familiar with the area will know about Dollar Point. And there used to be this very long pier. And you could fish overnight on the pier, of course. And then they had camping areas set up. So I was like, you know what? My son and I, he was about 5 years old at the time. I said, we're going to, no, he's probably like four. But anyway, around there, four or five. I said, I'm going to take him for a weekend. We're going to go camp at Dollar Point, and we're going to fish.
Nice.
And he brought his Snoopy pole, and I had a couple of lines out, you know, and we're catching a lot of fish this night. And he is just reeling in sand trout after sand trout after sand trout. And he turns around, and he looks at these guys that are next to us, and he, blurts out, Your poles suck.
Oh,
my Snoopy pole is awesome. And I'm catching all the fish. And I'm like,
you wanted to crawl into a hole.
It's the honesty of the young kid. God.
It is, man. Yeah. The show Kids Save the Darndest Things.
Yeah.
It's absolutely 100% true. So at this point, I'm thinking, I've got my son absolutely hooked on fishing, and he's going to be my fishing buddy from here on out. Well, then came my daughter, okay, and thinking that a daughter is going to be your fishing pal is kind of against the grain, because most of the time you would think your fishing pal is your son, and your daughter, you're going to her dance recitals, right?
Yeah.
And you're spending your time helping her get bow ties in her hair and things like that.
The internet is going to...
I know.
Is going to
guys,
get
well,
you
look,
on this one.
Okay, check this out. Okay, we have actually three different generations of dads here, okay?
All right.
My kids are already grown. My kids grew up in the 90s, early 90s and 2000s,
all right.
Okay? Then we've got Drew here, who's actually got a blended family. Kids range from...
11, 8, and 6.
11, 8, and 6. Mm-hmm. And then Matt... who's got a very young one that still likes to go around chasing Pokemon.
Oh, absolutely.
And how old is that one?
He's 5. He just turned 5.
Just turned 5. Okay, so we've got a very young dad, a dad who's sort of been there, been around it for about 11 years, and then mine who are grown. I'm a little bit older than you guys, and I kind of still had that mentality that my girl should be a girl.
Yeah.
And she turned out to be the one that is like completely and totally addicted. And somebody sent me a message the other day, before I even woke up, okay, my phone goes off, and I look at it, and it's from my mother-in-law, and she goes, hey, I just want you to know that your daughter's post on Instagram is a complete and total testament to how well you've raised her and how much you guys have loved the sport of fishing. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Like asleep, I'm like scrolling through.
And it's 7:30.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. It's like probably 8.
Yeah. All right. And half the world's awake.
And,
but
and it's a video that she put out there, and she's like, I am so missing this right now. And it's springtime fishing, and it's her landing some of the best redfish that she's landed.
Awesome.
And it's like, oh man. You know, my son, he loves it, but it's gotta be like, Dad, you better put me on the fish as soon as we get there, or else I'm out of here, dude. I got things to do, people to see, places to go, type of dude. My daughter will sit there and grind it for hours and hours and hours.
Gee.
So, how do you get your kids into that sport of fishing and the passion?
And you know,
my answer is honestly just share.
It's tough to answer that, right? Because, maybe I should let you go first, to be honest, right? I'm the type of person, and let me premise, my life revolves around fishing.
I thought you were going to say insurance sales.
Well, that's my day job, right? My passion and my day job is insurance, but my passion is fishing, right? And you say these things, and in your era of bringing them up, you took them on a 24-hour campout trip, right? I've taken my son fishing probably once, right? And I don't know if it's different because he's just turned 5. If there's a fear of some of the things that I've seen out there,
it's kind of rough these days,
right? And I wouldn't say it's rough. I still let boys be boys. You can scrape your kneecap, do what boys do, eat dirt for all
you
I
know,
can.
We've all tasted that shit.
Now, what do you mean take him fishing?
So like when we go fishing, it's jump off of my kayak and see if you can swim to mom's kayak. right? So the act of going fishing, especially on a kayak, is more let's play in the dirt, play in the sand, jump from my kayak to mom's kayak, and swim and have a good time.
Dad does a little bit of fishing in between.
Dad does no fishing, but it goes back to your first topic of the day of two or three beers while we're out there, right? So, you know, I think everybody's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, as a father of a son that who loves the sport, I want him to be my fishing partner. But if he doesn't take to it, you know, that's okay with me too.
Absolutely, it is okay.
So,
my son still loves to go fishing.
Yeah,
but he's very much the one that's like, "Can we hire a guide, Dad?" I'm like,
"Oh yeah,
I'm not good enough, bro."
I'm like, "Let's turn over some oyster shells and see what's underneath them." That's where I'm at now, right?
Well, when they're that young, too.
I think he's got a mix of all of them.
I know.
I think 7, 8 years old is when they can pay attention to something for more than 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time. Because the 5-year-old, 6-year-old, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
He'll fish for the first 30 minutes, and then he wants to play with the minnows and throw rocks and look for sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what any...
And that's
five
fun.
Or 6-year old.
Yeah, I have fun doing all
you,
that.
You bring them to an environment where they can actually do that.
Yes. I would not suggest anyone seriously try to kayak fish with a kid until they're at least 10, 11, 12 years old. And that I'm talking about like seriously, let them paddle, let them cast, let them do everything.
I think my daughter was at least 11.
Yeah.
10 or 11 before she started to join me on kayaking trips, and she's about to be 19.
Jesus. And my 12-year-old or 11-year-old, he's not that into fishing, but he liked to fish when he was younger. I think the biggest thing when you're taking kids fishing is, like you said, realize that you're not gonna get to fish.
No,
it's about them fishing, and it's hard for outdoorsmen and guys like us that love fishing to not have your mind focused on you fishing and you doing stuff, because then you're just going to be irritated, and then that's going to send off a negative energy to the kid about it, and you got to be, this is about you and little Matt, this is about you.
Is it little Matt?
Me and little Matt
no,
are going to do.
It's not
little Matt.
Dylan, but he's almost identical to
and
him.
And how's it spelled?
D-Y.
D-Y. That's my son is also a D-Y.
You know, I think it's, he knows, and again, this is not your typical triple threat. We're talking about fishing, and these are the tactics, right?
Oh, but this is important, because we have a lot of guys out there who have young families, and they want to share the sport with them.
They do. I think the biggest thing that I can share with anybody watching, right, is that my son knows Dad loves to fish. And my son loves anything that Dad loves, right?
Dad's a superhero, man.
Or, you know, I'm whatever he thinks I am that day. I'm a Bakugan or a
what's
some
bad
Pokemon.
I know what a Bakugan is.
Or whatever the case may be. I think he knows that this is what Dad loves. So he wants to either aspire or try it, or it builds excitement, right? And if you can keep that excitement and pass it on, doesn't matter what you're doing. If Dad has excitement and turning over oyster shells, well, he's all for it.
That's what he's about.
But fishing at his age compared to fishing at our level is going to be completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different. So,
And just to go back real quick, there are 6, 7, 8 year
olds that kill it.
That can kill it. And they'll fish all day.
Did y'all see the video of the kid recently? The fly fisherman?
The fly fisherman.
That's
he looks about
six,
four.
That's a prodigy right there.
I mean, so don't get me
wrong.
He
had double haul down like nothing. I was like, I can't even barely get a single haul down.
So it can be done. But from my experience, most kids, 8, 9, 10 is when they really can start paying attention, being serious. They want to learn. I think that's the thing. Like, once they want to learn how to do things instead of just, hey, Dad, Can you help me put the bait on? Or when they start going, hey, can you show me how to do that?
Yeah,
and
I want to do it.
Show
on
me
on my
how
own.
To do
yeah.
this. I want to do it on
Gabe's
my own.
Gabe's probably a very good example.
Yes,
of that.
And he's wanting to pick out his lures, or he's like, what do you think would be a good lure in this situation? And then I'll tell him, and he'll go.
I enjoyed talking to that kid. So something that Matt said brings up a point, a really good point. He talked about, you know, how one day you're a Bakugan, one day you're a Pokemon, you know, the superhero.
I'm
of the
surprised
day.
You said Bakugan right.
And my kids actually had those growing
up. Of course
up.
I did.
They've been around for a while. But, you know, comedians, whenever they put their material together, it comes from life events, right? Real life events. It comes from just like warning labels on the back of the bottle, like, don't drink this freaking bleach because some dumbass drank the freaking bleach one day and died, okay? The comedians get their material from real life events. And this one guy was talking about one day his kid came to him and he was like, Dad, I found out what I'm going to be whenever I grow up. Like the six-year-old kid, you know. He's like, oh, really, son? What are you going to be? He's like, I'm going to be a doctor. Man,
fancy.
My kid's got aspirations. Mm-hmm. He's like, Dad, or a lawyer. He's like, damn, this kid here is already talking about being a doctor and a lawyer. And then he goes, or a dinosaur.
Yeah!
You know, so that brings it right back into, you know, kids' lives and the things that they see.
Yeah.
And the eyes of a kid is completely different. And we forget about that because, of course, it's been years and years and years for us. And what's great is that they bring us back to that age.
I know.
But, okay, moving on. talking about kids and taking kids fishing, a big thing that people do during the springtime is enter their kids into the CCA Star tournament, guys. And this year, I know we don't have all the specifics. In fact, we tried to look it up before we started this show, and the rules for this year are completely changing. So we'll just talk a little bit about it. I don't know the specific reasons behind the change for the rules. I know because it's CCA, it's for conservation efforts,
absolutely.
Right? And I'm pretty sure it has a lot to do with the weather that we've had recently. So, with that being said, I know they still have the kids divisions,
mm-hmm.
and they still have the adult divisions. However, guys, gaff top's gone, sheep's head's gone, trout is gone, flounder is gone.
Yeah.
So this year it's all pretty much redfish and offshore species only. Matt, have you heard anything about what they're doing for redfish?
No, I'm waiting just like everybody else, right? I've been a longtime participant of the CCA tournament. High hopes.
We all do it for a chance.
Yeah, I know. Every year is my year, right?
It's the cheapest tournament. I mean, if you split it up by days that you fish.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm spending
See, I think of it as insurance, right? I'm going to go
there
out there and fish anyways.
I'm absolutely positive that if I do not sign up, I'm going to
catch
a tagged redfish.
And there's
I'm positive it's going to happen.
Story after story after story that you hear online of, oh, I didn't register. I let it go, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Or story about, I didn't register, and I ate that so much.
What is this little tag thingamajigger? I just cut
just
it
ate
out.
It.
Why is there plastic
in my
redfish?
I think because of the conservation aspect of the CCA, right, which I love and I support full-heartedly. You know, we just had a big event. If everybody's watching this on Facebook, right, you've seen the horror stories of the fish kill and the
topic
freeze,
number three,
right? Topic number three, we'll get into that. But I think they did need to make some changes, right? I know I never fish for gaff top. I never really fish for flounder. I'm not a very good speckled trout fisherman myself. I'm
usually
a
bycatch if it's
right.
For me, you know, it's bycatch.
It's like, oh my goodness, popping cork, turn the rod, come. Oh, wait.
What's this thing skipping across the top of the water?
But you know, at the end of the day, it's the redfish that brings. It's a redfish tournament, right? The others are no one remembers the side pot winners.
The trout, man. You'd be hard
pressed. Yeah, you just
you'd get
you
beat
probably
up.
Just a
you get beat up in some places. You yeah. you say the
there,
trout
there
is just a side pot.
There
the,
are all right, some guys
for
out
the
there.
Record.
Yeah,
the trout is just a side pot.
We don't hang out with trout guys, though.
Well, I'm just, it's CCA.
So you're trying to mingle with the greenfish guys.
Yeah, we're trying to mingle with the greenfish guys, but I draw the line at trout guys. I draw the line.
I do not. Hey, Tobin, give me a shout, man. I'd love to go catch some trout.
I'm as anxious as you guys are on what is the format going to be for this year, right? Is it going to be catch and release, catch and photo, catch, keep alive, take them to the weigh station so they can ver- who knows?
Well, I did get a little bit of inside information today. And the format that they're going to go with is all redfish. All
right.
And they're going to be different tags for different prize groups, okay? So if you're a youth that catches a tagged redfish in this specific category, they have a youth prize for that category based off of the tag that's on the redfish. If you're an adult that catches a specific tag in that category, you go to the adult category for that tag.
Has this been published yet?
This hasn't been published yet. So this
so you heard it first today.
On the Paddler's Playbook, baby! So, and it's not going to be...
Everybody's like, your sound is okay now.
Yeah. Sound is good. This shit sounds aight.
Turn it down.
So the thing
everybody
is...
Everybody knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
So the thing with the tags is that you're not going to, this year, you're not going to bring your catch into a weigh station. Huh. Okay? They do not want you to...
Whoa.
Keep going.
Do we need a
he
need
hitting
a
that
break?
He hitting that sauce, yo. The western sun. Hey, so they don't want you to bring the catch in because they don't want you to kill it, okay? This year, and probably from here on out, honestly, for a long, long time, it's going to be all about conservation of the species. I mean, guys, just in Sabine alone, they counted over 1,100 redfish found dead. So, I mean, that's just Sabine Lake.
Yeah.
You know, now, granted, there are millions out there, but that seems like a pretty large number. Matt's writing this down. Millions.
I'm a writer. I have notes. I got pages.
I was supposed to spoof Matt today. I was supposed to have my pad of paper and my pen. I was going to be like, da-da, hey, coming at you.
If you guys have ever watched Tackle Talk Tuesday, I'm a big fan of note-taking and pen-tapping.
Just make sure you write down the wooded whistling tauntauns.
Yeah, I know.
Woody tarantula tauntauns.
Woody tarantula tauntauns. I saw four at Lake Conroe today.
Waterfowl scouting? All right.
That's right.
So for this year's CCA, supposedly it's supposed to be clip the tag, bring the tag in, release the fish. All
right.
So it's all going to be catch and release. Now, guys,
which that will never change.
It might not. It might
no,
not
it's
ever
not.
Change.
I mean, it's not going to change. It's going
to
be.
That's a great format to me.
Yeah, it's going to be the same. It's
as
never
long
gonna change.
As some idiots do not try to duplicate the tags and you know skirt the system. So just remember, they will polygraph.
Good. I'm a big fan of polygraph and
they have
CCA
a special
every
set of skills.
Every other tournament. Like
if you cheat, we will find you.
They will find
don't
you.
Don't cheat. You know, hold yourself to a higher caliber. It's pretty
it's pretty easy.
Do we have a beep here? Is there a beep in this show?
No, there's no beep.
It's all straight.
It's all straight. All
right, sorry.
But
I didn't say anything, but I wanted to.
You son of a
How long until you feel comfortable with everything going back the way it was?
Okay, so are we getting into the third segment?
Well, no. Just like CCA is changing their rules.
I'm good with it because
what
you know,
do you need to hear to change your mindset, or is it already changed and it's not going to be changed?
I don't know how long ago it was, but over the years I have become more conservation minded. And I have become a lover of redfish. Like, I mean, I have a deep appreciation and just like the guys for frickin' bass, man. They're like, you know, oh my gosh, they're bleeding. Pour some Mountain Dew down its neck. So
and it doesn't work. It does not work.
So it'll coagulate.
But you tried.
But you tried.
And you feel better.
And that
it's
fool,
okay.
that fish got high them up. But the thing is that at some point I became very conservation minded, and I may keep throughout a year like four fish, and they've got to be between 22 and 24 inches. And now I'm just talking about redfish, okay? Mm-hmm. A redfish can feed Michelle and I, one redfish between 22 and 24 inches can feed us like two meals, one redfish.
How many flounder are you keeping though?
If I catch flounder, dude, it's coming home, because I don't catch them that often.
Because there's not so many of them.
I've got a theory about flounder.
Let me ask this. They've taken off the gaff top. They've taken off the trout. Are you still going to take home every flounder that you catch?
Okay, so being conservation-minded, do you think that it's okay to take home one or two flounder for your family to eat?
The initial numbers that I saw from the survey that they did, which wasn't a gill net survey, it wasn't a netting survey, what they did is they took, and this is just me making up numbers, they took a 100-yard piece of land, they counted the fish, and then they multiplied that times like the total area of the bay and everything.
That's a very...
Yeah, and those numbers did not look...
When did they do the survey?
This was 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
Don't look at me, man. I don't know what survey you're talking about.
And it was 9% of the fish killed were game fish.
Oh, and 3% not much flounder.
3% of those fish were redfish.
I think flounder are extremely hardy, and they can adapt to these extreme temperature changes very, very well. Better than redfish.
All opinions expressed on the Pounders Playbook podcast are solely our own opinions and not a reflection on ACK, pen fishing, or any other.
I'm still reserving my normal keeping fish habits until I see some more data.
But that's just me. Okay, going into the data thing, we've kind of got to take it into topic number three. Okay, it's probably a dead horse, guys, and you've heard it being beat a million times all over the place, but the freeze did affect our coastal fishery, and there have been some changes. We hear that it's been horrible. We hear that it hasn't been so bad. We hear data from CCA. We hear data from TPWD. Some of it may be conflicting. The number one thing that's coming out of all of this is some really good science, okay? And it's all theoretical. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they can prove, okay? For instance, why did a lot of the trout that were found that were dead, you know, have their gills filled with mud? Who freaking knows? You know why? Because you're not a freaking trout.
Yeah, right? I'm not a trout.
You're not a trout. You have no idea why the gills were filled with mud. There's all speculation, you know, what could have happened to that trout mm-hmm. when it died.
And if you haven't heard the speculation, it's because of barge traffic, is what the speculation is.
Barge traffic's one of them.
That's the speculation that I've heard.
That they tried to stay, you know, in an equal temperature, so they bedded down inside mud, and they were so lethargic that they became stunned, and... they couldn't move their gills like they would normally. I don't know if you've heard about the spots on redfish that have showed up. Abnormal spots on their backs or on their heads or something like
that.
There's
only one explanation for that. An ancient alien civilization.
Oh, somebody was watching that shit on television whenever I got here. They were 18,000 years ago.
Western Sun, Big Stripe, watermelon flavored vodka. Ancient civilization.
Ancient civilizations, guys. Okay, it's shot time.
And again, this is thanks to
these guys have me drinking some frou-frou stuff, but it's pretty
Texas
strong.
Texas Kayak Bass Fishing League. Today you're sharing in with our glory and our winnings. So if you're watching, cheers.
Is this Homeboys vodka sponsor? Western Sun? Or
oh, yeah. KBN. They sponsor KBN, too.
KBN, here's to you. And Western Sun.
KBN. But if you're looking for a tournament series, Cats is the way to go.
Oh, no. Well, saltwater.
Cats freshwater. Cats saltwater.
Absolutely.
May 1st, San Luis Pass County Park. you will be able to see all of us gentlemen there.
Yeah, I know.
I guess I'll be there in some capacity, some form or fashion.
You need to fish it, man. Everybody.
Okay, so here's my shout out to all of you bro staff. Come to me if you want to fish it as a partner, because I don't have a partner yet.
You can fish solo.
You can't fish solo.
And take all the glory.
But I've already told told Drew that if there's a guy out there, a bro staffer, that, because we always talk about this, about how you know, there's a lot of guys out there that want to get into tournament fishing, but they don't know how, they don't know what it's going to be like. You know, I'll take one of those guys that.
You know what would be awesome, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. So when we were at this tournament, there was a gentleman, I forget his name, but he has a campaign that he wants to bring a veteran along with him to each one of these Southeast Texas kayak bass
fishing
lakes. So
a how guy?
No, not a Heroes on the Water.
It's a different thing, right?
This is his own organization. If you would be willing to take a veteran, right, somebody that works through this Southeast Texas Kayaks Bass Fishing League to one of the Cats tournaments, I'll pay for both of your guys'.
I'd love to, man. Yeah, right? Bring it on. Yeah.
Look, I love the bro staff, right? Bro staff folks are fishermen.
For life.
I've already said.
But I want to bring another bro staffer in.
So
somebody that's taking care of our country.
I talked to him about doing, you know, hey, should I grab somebody from Howe? Should I grab, you know, just a bro staffer that has been talking about fishing one of these tournaments? Because I don't have a partner for this event.
I'll get you one.
Do it to it, man.
Do it. And then I'll pay for your entry.
No GPS coordinates will be given.
I'll pay for
you will be blindfolded to your spot.
Yeah, no, I'll pay for your entry. If you need a kayak to run with them, I've got you. I know you've got more.
I'm covered. I got Outbacks ready to go if they need a kayak.
Let me write that down.
And Facebook user here says, I'm
coming. What was that, bro? What was that, man?
That was my elbow.
Nah, y'all, you were eating some eggs earlier, man.
Says,
I saw you.
It says, I'm coming with a party mindset. As the executive event coordinator, Cats May 1st will be a party.
All
right, is that right?
It will be a party. The weigh in is going to be. I hate to say this because I don't want to talk about any other tournaments because I really enjoy a lot of the tournaments.
You know, whenever we first started this, like I gotta throw this out there. Whenever Drew and I first started this, you know, he's like, "What about tournament? What about tournament?" I'm like, "Dude, you don't want to get into that, okay? Don't start getting into running tournaments because it will eat your soul.
You're addicted. I'm attorney at it, guys.
I'm not talking about like fishing tournaments. I was talking about running tournaments
because it will eat your soul, man.
But Chris,
I know he's like, but he keeps telling me, but I'm not running the tournament.
No. But you said all that, but that was when you didn't have ACK.
No, I know you guys have
holding up their end of the bargain.
You guys have got an amazing
support.
I was gonna say the backbone of the system is strong.
Oh yeah. Yes. No, I think you know. Everybody can throw out a tournament, and I fished a lot of tournaments, grassroots tournaments, that I've just had a blast, right? And whether it's a party, whether it's the people that are involved, I think if my goal...
Got to make the weigh-in fun.
No, you got to make
the weigh-in
fun.
It's got to be an event, and you need an executive event coordinator.
But as a tournament fisherman, I want to make the winner of that tournament the most lucrative MF-er to walk away, right? I'm not from the era of participation trophies. I'm not. If you're a winner and you come and you bring it, then you're going to win. You're going to win handsomely. Or, all right, is that not sexist? No, I'm just saying you're gonna win handsomely. To go back to some of the other topics we had, I don't know if we're losing viewers or have viewers.
No,
or what
y'all didn't let me finish what I was saying.
Finish what you're saying.
Okay.
And then I'll
go
back.
Other tournaments, the weigh-ins.
All right.
It's usually a bunch of guys
standing around.
I like a bunch of guys standing around.
Kicking rocks in a parking lot.
I like it.
Or at a boat dock.
Well, you gotta talk to them.
Nobody's talking. There's no, like, real good music going. At this event, we're gonna have food.
I'm gonna write this down, guys.
There's gonna be good music. There's gonna be washers. There's gonna be different contests.
Is Gen G gonna be there?
Yes. Look, I made cornhole. There's gonna be a lot going on. Like, a lot of you guys are gonna want to just show up just for the weigh-in.
I just looked at myself in the bathroom mirror, and I gotta say something. ACK, I need a hat that fits this melon properly.
That's
those hats
happen.
Fit me perfectly. You dudes with like ginormous heads, it does
I'm
not.
On, I'm almost
does
on
not
the
work.
The last button there, man. But anyway, it's a lot of hair going on.
Anyways, guys, if you guys are listening, watching,
how many people we got on stage?
12.
We got 12. Make sure you enter. Right, I'm doing my best to take every aspect of every tournament like you've had, right? And you've been there and you've seen people kicking rocks to try to make this not one of those, right? It's not, we're not having Kevin Fowler come play.
Yet. You just wait.
But I want to.
Executive.
Yeah. You know, I want to surround myself with people that have the same passion and have a different vision than I do. As a tournament fisherman, right? I'm all for the glory, right? My key, I don't care what you have. No food.
Let's lay it on the table, Matt Murphy.
I want the
Matt Murphy does not care about
food. I don't care about food. I don't care about games. I don't care about side prizes.
Tell you what.
I care about first, second, and third for busting their ass, going out there prepping, catching fish for a fishing tournament. All the other stuff is kind of side, you know.
If you haven't guessed by now, we're moving into.
No. I still need to go back.
Oh,
I still need to go back to your
to the fish kill
and CCA format. But we got off topic.
All right, I'm gonna put this down and just let Matt talk for a while.
I want the people that go out there and take these things seriously as I do, to be rewarded very, very handsomely, very, very handsomely. And the people that fish it or want to fish it or
want to
be
involved.
I want
you to get that as a sound bite, and I want to use it like all the time.
You know, the people that want to fish it and be involved, I understand that because I've been there, right? I've won purses for winning 10th. I've won purses for winning last. So we're also going to do an Average Joe's, which is a...
Average Joe is fantastic.
Which is an Average Joe, which is a cumulative weight of what all fish are brought in. And I hear you're going to win a pretty sweet prize.
I wish I could tell y'all what the prize we're talking about is.
A pretty sweet
but we can't.
Prize that may make your time on the water a little better.
Do you know what the number
I know
one
everything.
Most successful flounder tournament ever is called?
Flatty Daddy.
Who's your Flatty Daddy?
Who's your Flatty Daddy?
Yeah.
Do you want to know one of the reasons why
hosted
it's most
by Fish Sticks, right?
Do you want to know one of the reasons why it's most successful?
Because the name's badass?
Well, the name's pretty badass, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's because there is a category for anyone.
Oh, yeah.
There is a category for anything. So if you bring in, you know, an average weight of X, you could win $1,000. If you're the closest to 21 inches, you know, with two flounder, you can win $1,000. If you've got the largest flounder of the night, you can win $3,000.
Yeah.
If you've got the largest bag, you can win $5,000. You know, it just, there's multiple categories and wheels that you spin like a,
and
you
it
know.
Feels good.
Dude, we have so much fun at that event. But you know what? It's also an event where there's every year almost 400 people.
Yeah.
And they all show up and they all have a good time and they
so
all party hard.
I will promise you this. This is year one of bringing cats back.
Good.
And cats salt water.
Cats salt water back. And, well, for the longest time, cats, in my mind, has always been salt water.
Didn't it used to be part of the Del Mar for a while?
Well, there was a joint venture.
With Del Mar?
Per se, with Fin Factory Kayak out of Corpus Christi. But this year we broke apart, right? We're doing our own thing. You know, this year, while
nothing
we're
to do with Fin Factory
back,
though. Fin Factory is great.
Nothing
good
to
people.
Do with them. Good people. Hobie dealership out of Central Texas. But we're judging what year 2021 is going to be based off what we get this year, right? It's only going to get better. It's only going
to
get
bigger. Two events. I'm sure next year you're going to be like, hey, you know, the absolutely. Two events were so great, we're going to do five.
People probably don't. You're going to hear about this, guys, like all through these events, right? I don't know if we should take up time on this. But to go back through.
I was
going to
leave it for the Matt Murphy segment.
We could have. I mean, we'll talk about that again. We're all kind of mixing in today.
Hold on. Don wants to know how many we expect to be at the Cats tournament.
I don't think that you can put a number on it right now.
No, look, so I'll tell you as.
I'm expecting 50 teams. I'm expecting 100 people.
I think you're going to get more than that.
I hope so.
I think that's my bottom number that
Matt,
I think
Matt and I have fished a lot
compete.
Of saltwater tournaments, and there's a lot of guys out there that are looking for this event, you know, an event like this, especially team events, because team events, they get to fish with their buddy. They get to fish with their pal. You know, they get to fish with somebody new. You know, it brings something different. And most of the team events that we've fished in, the first one of the year is usually like 100, you know.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it's big. We'll see.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for big
Keep
numbers.
Keep blowing it up, man.
You know, I want to blow it up. I want to blow it up to not where that's all you see and you get tired of seeing it. But I also know kayakers. And I know kayakers that'll be like, oh, I'm fishing that. But I'm not going to sign up till that Friday before the tournament. Right?
That's like, I ask these guys, hey, do you have a format ready for this weekend? And Matt's like, yo, we're kayakers. We'll have it Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
And we're kayakers. So, Matt, when did you sign up for the tournament that we fished today?
I signed up Thursday. And you asked me, did you sign up? And then I saw you sign up right after me.
Yes. Yeah, so
but
we both signed up Thursday night.
We signed up late, but
tournament.
On my calendar, which I live by. Right, it had this date and this thing to sign up. Right,
it was done in your mind. It was done.
It was done in my mind. So you know, I would love to see people sign up beforehand, because that will allow me.
It'll allow us to do more for you.
It'll
guys.
Allow me to use my influence to pull more stuff for you to take home. Is probably the best way I
and
can put that.
It's like a captain. A captain does not fish, and bring people fishing just. For the money, it's because there's a passion for seeing people catch fish.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a passion here for seeing people win money
and
get
eat.
Up on that stage.
There's a passion for people to eat and have fun.
All right,
we're gonna
so
have third coast
you're gonna take
that's
that.
Not any weird fetish.
I'm gonna
anything.
Take care of your prizes and your money and something you can take home to your wife to make her happy, you know, whatever the case may be. But to go back real quick before we move on to the next step. All right, so fish kill, right? You said science. It was uncertain.
There's a lot
there's
of
new
science
that's
yeah.
coming
there's
out.
Science. Theories everywhere.
You know, science is great, right? If you ask my wife, she'd say that's the definite, right? It's science. Science.
Weird science.
Yeah, well,
science
we don't wanna
science. I mean.
We don't want to get into weird science because, you know. Whatever the case may be. But what I relied on, I know the internet loves misery, right? So you put a picture of a bunch of dead fish
this close
in a cove that catches everything from seaweed
and their mullet
and
shad.
All this other stuff, right?
Dude,
look.
I saw some snapper.
There's
some
snapper and
snook. They got stuck in the bay, though.
I saw a bunch of game fish killed, right? I'm not going to, that's not disproved. I've seen it with my own eyes. There's mm-hmm. redfish dead. There was trout dead. There was non-game fish dead.
A lot of
bait fish dead, obviously. But, you know, after the freeze I've got out there, and you get a feel for your own waters, right?
How healthy they are, if things are bad.
If they're following their same cycle, right? If there's still redfish doing the same thing that they did last year, the year before that, the same area. are they crashing bait? You know, are they still holding shallow? And I was more worried on a selfish note, being a tournament fisherman, that, man, this may have screwed up some of the places that I know that hold fish in this area so I can try to win some money. So I was out there extensively, and I looked, and I looked, and I went, and I went. In the first week, second week, you know, yeah, it was kind of devastating. I didn't see much. But last week, this week, I'm still seeing numbers. I'm still seeing them doing the exact same thing that they do this time of year in the exact same amount of redfish.
So we all have personal theories, yeah. You know, things that run in our mind. You know, I have a theory about flounder, and I know I've expressed it on the show before, but there's a theory out there that things like, okay, hurricanes are actually good for fisheries,
mm-hmm.
because they help to flush the
yeah.
bays. Same thing with the freeze, okay? But the one thing that I know is detrimental to Rockport and Aransas and the southern coastal areas is the seagrass.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that freezing temperatures can really kill off that seagrass. But what that does is that just means that the fish move elsewhere. A lot of times they'll just move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might find that they can adapt.
Yeah.
Redfish especially can adapt. There's a lot of different ways that redfish hunt. Let's just be honest with that. You know, some of them grow up hunting along rocks. Some of them grow up hunting in grass. Some of them grow up hunting in open waters. And they, if they're not used to, hunting in open waters, they just adapt to
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. I can tell you in Rockport or the areas I fish, that seagrass has been dying since Hurricane Harvey.
Really?
Yeah. So it the base system continues to change every year, right?
Oh yeah.
Regardless of the freeze, seagrass has been disappearing, and I'm not talking about like Estes Flats or Aransas Bay that most people think of.
Redfish Bay,
yeah.
Lighthouse Lakes.
Exactly, where they've got signs that say seagrass, you know, don't no props.
You thinking more like Copano Bay?
Copano Bay and all the way up to Guadalupe River Delta. The seagrass has changed since Hurricane Harvey. Why? I have no idea. Science behind it?
Trying to think how many times I've been out there since. I know I've been out there a dozen times or so.
It has definitely changed. And areas that have hold redfish that like to be in that nasty, swampy, just tangled in, when that seagrass left, or the swampness grass left, so did the redfish.
So did those guys. They had to go adapt. They had
yeah.
to go change their eating habits and their
yeah,
feeding patterns to something else. So if you had a friend that was hanging out in the grass, his name was Fred, go look for Fred over at the jetties, man. That's probably where he's hanging out at.
Give me a sec.
Sure.
Matt's got to go take a tinkle. He'll be right back.
He is gone. Guys, we're going to be joined in just a little bit by some Bro staff members. If you want to join the show, go ahead and post your comment.
We're going to be brought on live.
Yeah,
man.
We're going to bring you on live here. If you guys have a comment and you can join the show, just let us know. We can send you a link.
We still sounding good and looking
us.
Good out there, guys?
I think we're sounding good. Nobody said anything. I don't know about looking good. I don't know if anybody's going to say we're looking good. I know I'm getting redder and redder. I can see myself getting redder.
Well,
redder.
You can probably feel it more than
yeah,
you can see it.
Yeah, it takes a little while. The sunburn, the windburn from
it's
being
a little
out
warm
all day
in here
on the
too.
Water.
I know you say you keep
it's
your house
68,
around
68, dude. It is 68.
I don't feel it.
Maybe 68
it's
right now.
Maybe it's this freaking inferno ring that you've got in front of us.
So, again, if you guys have any questions, post them in the comments, and then if you can join us, post in the comments that you want to come on the show and ask the questions.
I'd like to know what theories these guys have out there in regards to, you know, fish kills, and also you know, what they think redfish do when their natural habitat, feeding habitat, changes. What do they think they do?
You know, I think we should I think we should go with some of the questions before we get into our own thing. If anybody's asked any, let's bring them on.
That is literally what we were just talking about. So we're waiting for a few people to come on.
We'll wait for a few people to come on.
Well,
so in the meantime, tell us what Matt Murphy's doing these days, man. I know that, okay, so a lot of you guys are probably familiar with Tackle Talk Tuesday. Tackle Talk Tuesday used to be a big Facebook thing that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say used to be a big
Facebook thing. Well, no,
it kind of has. It's happening every now and then still.
It's so Tackle Talk Tuesday used to be every Tuesday on a Facebook page called Kayak Fishing Texas, which is still a great page for information for what's going on.
We were rotating through the toilet here is what's going on.
Well, it's been a long day fishing, right? But Kayak Fishing Texas still has a bunch of information on there. The only thing is my schedule has changed to where I can't give weekly updates every Tuesday.
It's hard raising a family, you know.
Well, I've got T-ball
full-time
now.
Job. Oh, that is awesome, man.
I've got T-ball on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What a mess, right? Just
it's
a complete
it
riot.
It is just... It's wonderful.
It's like bees after the beehive.
It's like, Mom, let me bring you some flowers, or where's the eight... There's supposed to be 9 kids, but there's 8. One's eating a raspa in the, the stand. So
I don't know what a raspa is. But
you know, a snow cone. Oh, eating a snow
okay.
cone.
Yeah, snow cone.
In the stand.
You know, I lived in Odessa, Texas, which is right near El Paso, and we never called our snow cones a raspa.
Well, you never ate a proper snow cone then.
Well, we had pickle flavored and also some sort of chili powder flavored
snow
cones.
Some sort of chili powdered flavor. Okay.
Snow cones. Yeah, but we still call them snow cones, bro.
Anyways, my schedule's changed, so I wasn't able to do a weekly, you know, update on what was happening. So it moved monthly, right? So I would do the first Tuesday of the month. And now, you know, that was, dude, Tackle Talk Tuesday has been going on for probably about 4 years.
Awesome.
Right. So, this year it's even changed even more, right?
With so you're going to keep it alive in some form or fashion, but
it's in some form or fashion on Matt Murphy Outdoors, whether it's broadcast live through ACK, which is my outfitter, or if I just decide to do it myself.
I think it's all of our outfitters, man.
I think so. Yeah. No, I'm a fan. But it's changed, and for you guys that don't know what Tackle Talk Tuesday is, it's really just an avenue for me to share with folks that don't live on the coast or don't get to fish on the coast often what's working for me, what's not working for me, where I'm finding fish, where they're holding, to try to cut that little bit out, right? What do I go to the tackle store? What am I buying? What color am I buying?
So they can make their way down from San Antonio to Rockport and have a good day fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. Or try to, right? Yeah. I can't promise anything. What works for me doesn't work for everybody.
You should make promises.
Well, you know, if I do, I'm okay with, I'm human and it's okay to break them. We're not break promises, but be wrong. I'm okay with being wrong. But that's what Tackle Talk Tuesday was. And it's morphed and evolved and it's changed into...
Whose freaking phone is that, man?
That's my phone.
Golly!
It just blew everybody's eardrums.
It's changed.
Everybody's eardrums.
Over the years, like I think a lot of things has.
My bad, guys.
You know, before that, there wasn't all these podcasts, right? There wasn't everything going on like your guys' show.
I didn't even know what a podcast was until...
Until he was on one. He had no clue what a podcast was until he recorded one.
Right. I remember somebody telling me one day, podcasts are the future. I'm like, okay.
No, I believe it. I think I did what I could with the resources that I had, which was literally my phone, recording, just trying to help some people. People watched it. People didn't watch it. And then podcasts like yourself came along, which I am a huge fan of just because I've seen what you do behind it. I've watched it.
It's fun, man. It's a lot of fun. And thank you for.
No, I have been. Yeah. And you have the same passion that I have. Let's help some people, right? Nobody's getting paid here.
We need to get back to the plastic one day, though. Talking about the plastic. I love talking about the plastic. It's one of my passions.
We need actual
boats themselves.
Oh, yeah.
For the listeners who listen to the podcast, we need to revisit buying a used new Absolutely. Kayaks out right now. New things going on. We need to revisit that this year. And it's on the list to be revisited.
That's got
to
be a repeat every year, because in our industry, we have a new kayak or potential kayak fisherman every day.
You know,
I'm
sorry to break in, but we're talking about, but you know, one of the hardest kayaks right now to find?
Hobie Outback?
No.
The best
They're
kayak
everywhere,
ever.
Bro. They're everywhere.
Well, you can find it used.
Yes. Tarpon T160i is one of the hardest kayaks right now to find.
Because they're old.
They are old, but it used to be you could log on and find like five, you know, at any given time. Now, I know where two are, and I'm waiting to get my funds up enough to grab both of them.
And then find them on the market again.
Dude, no.
Did we have anybody submit any questions yet?
Yeah, there's some. I'm reaching out to them to see if they want to come on live to ask their questions.
Well, let's talk about Matt Murphy Outdoors, and that's kind of the
hit it
pretense
hit it.
To what my goal is, right? At the end of the day, my goal is to help people get on the water, catch some fish. There's a lot going on. We talked about earlier, guys, with tournament director for Cats. I'm going to continue to focus to bring you guys or gals or anglers, whatever you want to call it, a good platform where they can catch redfish on some of the best things that I can take from other tournaments that I've had. Obviously, I've got a good team that's surrounded by me, Drew being one as the entertainment.
He wants to be known as the executive.
Executive.
Okay, executive.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
Event coordinator.
Coordinator. Right. I want to make sure you guys get money in your wallet and leave happy. He wants to make sure you have a good time, which is necessary for the whole platform. But come later this fall. Right. I've been sitting around and I've been thinking I have the luxury of being able to put my kayak in my boat. Right. And go to places that some kayaks can't get to.
I've heard about this. So you've got a small aluminum boat, or
so I've got multiple boats. I've got a small aluminum boat that I do self scouting for when I'm fishing tournaments. Right, so 12-foot aluminum craft with a little 2.5 kicker that actually runs shallower than my kayak. That's for personal scouting, right? I can run around, find where the redfish are, and then go take people's money when it's kayak time. But the other part of it, I've got a 21-foot Carolina skiff, too, that holds up to four or five kayaks, right? My goal this fall will be that I can...
Watch out, St. Joe Bay.
Watch out, St. Joe. That's what it is. There's so much marsh area in and around Rockport.
That's where I took this cat, man, and he had the time of his life, man.
Yeah, it is. But it's too far for both an electric motor, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's too far.
It's not too far to kayak. 9 miles to me, but it's got to be an ice cream day, man.
Yeah, it's got to be slick and flat, and it's got to stay that way all day long.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to get that because that bay is so big and so long, man.
I use the example of, like, people looking on the map from Cuba to Florida. Oh, that's not too far, right? We can get there. That's the same thing if someone tries to venture out from the mainland to the back of St. Joe's Bay.
So it's 9 miles, but...
Well...
But it's not the 9 miles that kills you. It's the fact that in between the island that's been created, you know, the barrier island, not just St. Joe... But the entire barrier island and the mainland, when wind funnels through, okay, especially an eastward wind or a westward wind, it acts like a cannon.
Oh, it's
because that land continues to fold the air over and over and over into the bay, and it becomes a literal washing machine.
It's tough. I can tell you from experience. I've attempted to kayak across myself,
It was tough in the skiff. Yeah,
I'm used to doing 20 miles.
We
right,
speared.
Round trip.
We speared. We were in 3 foot rollers, and I had to go 9 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, no, I bet it was. I want to bring people to new water that they haven't seen.
Without
so you've heard of Cedar Bayou?
Without killing them, Matt, please not.
No, yeah, without killing them.
Well, I'll have insurance.
No, don't worry, guys.
Just in case.
Just in case. That's what I do for a living. But, you know, I want to expand where a kayaker can get. I'm not looking to guide people fishing. Right?
They can spend all freaking day and only touch 10% of that bay system.
Oh, absolutely. I want to be able to broaden that. So this fall, hopeful, right, if everything falls into play, unlike this big freeze that kind of put a damper on it for the summer season. But I want to be able to just shuttle folks. So by fall, I should have my captain's license, be able to legally take money from you, and then take you anywhere from Cedar Bayou to the back of St. Joe's Bay and explore primarily most of those marsh systems that a kayaker hasn't seen.
Awesome. So
without being ferried.
So the whole direction of Matt Murphy Outdoors is just shuttling kayaks?
No, it's ever evolving. Right? It's ever evolving. I'm a huge duck hunter.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
come
I know.
On, bring in the waterfowl.
Spark. I'm a huge duck hunter and I can kayak guide duck hunts now. Right.
There's no credentials required.
There's nothing other than if you bring your own gear, I can take you out there. I think it will expand from there come duck season to where whatever experience you're looking for, whether it's being shuttled in a kayak.
There's 190 duck blinds in a 10-mile radius on St. Joe Bay.
Oh, there probably is.
Are you
half of those people don't shoot ducks.
Just sit out there and poop on their duck blinds?
Well, I mean, you call it what you want, but I think the photos and what you guys see online speak for itself.
Yeah.
Right? What I would be offering would be something completely different than a shuttle to a duck blind, right? Where you get dropped off, you're sitting in a standalone blind of ducks.
When's that guy
going
to come back for us? We haven't seen a freaking duck all day.
You know, I think
need some Fritos.
Right? You better bring some Fritos. Or whatever you said.
He said Fritos.
Fritos.
You know, I think it's only going to expand from there, right? But I will be offering come duck season. So
awesome.
2022. Matt Murphy Hog Hunts.
You guys ready? You guys ready to take a question?
No, absolutely. Let's
throw your
on.
Headphones. Nope. We got two waiting. People waiting in the wing.
They're in the studio?
Two bro staff members.
Let's do it.
All right. First, this
we can't
delay
see you, so.
Is killing me.
Yeah, it's tough with the delay.
All right.
If you keep one earphone off, it's a little bit easier.
All right, we got Austin Matthews that is going to come on. He's got a question for Chris, and he's got a question for Matt. Let me bring him on. Austin, man, how you doing?
Yo, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's going good. So what is your question that you want to talk about on today's show?
So this weekend I was down in Rockport and kind of fishing some flats and stuff, about 3 feet of water-ish. Couldn't find much fish. So my question was, is it spring pattern yet? Did I miss the phone call about that? And if it's not spring pattern yet, can you please tell the fish that spring break is over now, so it needs to be spring pattern?
I thought spring break just started.
This is the tail end. This is the last weekend.
So I would say I'm not okay. Right now, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. I haven't fished since January.
Oh Lord.
I have been working on my house. Like I said, I've been a homer for the past 6 weeks, but fishing is fishing is fishing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say that this springtime patterns are just now kicking off. Matt, what do you say?
Hey, Austin, that's a great question. So I have found in Rockport that we're on a delay, right? So everything that would normally happen in the areas I go to catch redfish, the areas I go to catch trout, the areas I go to catch any fish has been pushed significantly from what it would normally be in the past year before, right? Things have changed. That freeze made our water temperatures colder, right? It
they're still in the 60s?
Yeah, about 60s. So what they're normally doing, what you would experience last year, you know, I would say give it another month and then follow your game plan that you've had before or where you were successful before. And then I would try that these upcoming
months. Let's try to give more of a landmark for them to touch down on.
Well.
So give it another month. What about if you say wait for water temperatures to hit about 72 degrees?
So
then start looking for those patterns.
I mean, that's hard to say. So we've got Jax showing up in Port A, right? Jax normally show up last month, right?
Right.
So it's delayed, right? I can't give you a specific water temperature, right? I just wouldn't sound educated in doing that because I'm not running electronics to give you what the temperature is. I know fish patterns. I know what's happening. And normally when jacks show up, they show up 2 or 3 weeks before spring break, right? So I can say that that's delayed by 2 or 3 weeks because these offshore fish had absolutely no effect on this freeze. They're just late.
So, Austin, in my area, I know you asked specifically about Rockport, but in my area, the Galveston, Sabine.
Yeah, that's where I'm located.
All the way to Maddie. Redfish spring pattern. Man, I would always look for water temperature to be in the 70s, low 70s. 72 was when things really started to kick off. And I think last time I looked, Galveston water's still around 68.
Now, what, getting there. What would you guys expect them to begin to do in that spring pattern? Like 70, 72?
It all depends on, it all depends on the bait.
Right now, Austin, really what I'm doing, I'm not waking up early mornings, right? Mm-hmm. That's an easy thing to say.
There you go.
Right? I'm not waking up early morning trying to get, you know, get there early.
But the sunrise is so nice.
Yeah, the sunrise is so nice. You can take some awesome pictures.
So is my pillow.
That's an insurance policy, right? You don't catch any fish. You can post your sunrise picture. But you still need the water to warm up, at least in the Rockport area. I would stay away from shell, and I would look for
mud,
gumbo mud.
If you can,
the stinky stuff. Stinkier the better.
If it is stinkier, the better. I have.
So what's too early to get off the water?
I wouldn't get on the water before.
What's too early?
Yeah.
Okay. What's too early to get off the water?
Wait till 9 a.m.
There is no time too early to get off the, water.
Get off the water.
And there's
yeah.
no, yeah, there's no time too late to get off the
Unless
water.
Unless it's just
okay.
really cold or a front blows in or
yeah,
something
if weather
like
gets
that.
Down.
The only reason I say there's no time too late is because throughout the day when that sun goes down, that gumbo mud or any structure you're
starts
fishing,
to cool back up.
Like concrete, right? Look for bridges or anything with rocks in the water. Not necessarily shell. But they're going to hold heat and temperature longer than some
yeah.
of the sand or some of the grassy areas.
Solid substrate.
Yeah. So if you can find something that'll hold heat, and I use the example if you've ever been able to hold your hand outside of your house on a cold day, right, you can feel the heat radiating from it. That same thing happens from dark mud, dark bottoms.
Y'all have geotubes down there?
No, I'd have to say no on that one.
Well,
we've got a lot of geotubes in Galveston.
Guys,
yeah.
I'm going to bring on someone else, Corey.
Austin, before I let you go, man, thanks for the question. If I didn't answer that for you, ping me, and I'll make sure to get to it.
Oh, you're good. Thank you.
We're going to keep Austin on.
Oh, all right.
Corey's question kind of dovetails into what we're talking about because we're talking about spring pattern.
Okay,
I'm gonna
Corey
let Corey,
did have a question.
I'm going to let Corey. Corey, man, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
So we were just talking about spring patterns and what the fish are doing. What was your question that you had?
Y'all's personal tactics for springtime pattern, or I guess spring tactics, whether it be redfish, trout, whatever. what are y'all going to do? Mainly Drew and Chris. I know what Matt's going to do.
I know. I know he does.
I'm going to go kick ass is what I'm going to start
so,
doing.
So, Drew,
so you're giving up on saltwater. So, Chris, what are you doing?
No.
But I can tell you exactly what
I
Drew's
went to Louisiana.
Do.
That's what I did.
Drew's going to bring his cast net. He's going to find some bait.
That's not true.
He's going to sit in the mouth of a drain.
That's not true.
So, you know, my tactic is pretty much the same no matter what time of the season is. I'm a sight caster. I love sight casting redfish. I've become addicted over the years, and it's all going to hinge around what the weather is doing for me now. Do I have southern wind, northern wind? What shorelines are going to be best for me to fish? Let's say, you know, springtime, we actually have a good southern wind. You're probably going to find me in a northern lake fishing a leeward shore of a northern lake. A lot of guys will go straight to the southern side because they want to be protected by that southern shoreline of Galveston.
That's so
Bay.
Funny, man. You're fishing the side that's getting beat up.
No.
It's getting
so I'm going
to
a northern
to.
Lake, but I'm fishing the southern shore of the northern lake. So, okay, are you familiar with Galveston Bay?
No.
At all? Okay, well, let's say Copano Bay. Okay. Copano Bay, I've got a springtime. I've got a southern wind. I'm going to go up by Blacks. And I'm going to go west. And I'm going to hit that southern shoreline right there. Not the northern shoreline that's getting beat up.
Yeah.
But that southern shoreline. Redfish are lazy. Okay. And they love to just cruise that easy going. I know a lot of guys find redfish on the beat up shoreline because bait go there. I find better luck with the big mamas and big daddies on the side that's not getting beat up. So I don't know what that shoreline's called, but there's a river there. Or
I mean, you can take any short or any body of water and use that same tactic.
You sure can.
It's Copano Bay or Galveston Bay or. I mean, whatever your local body of water would be.
Man, I hope I didn't hit a nerve. I see a vein like popping out. Like, dude, you gave away one of my spots.
No, well, the thing is, right? I'm glad you said that. Is because, I have the complete opposite tactic from you.
I know, and Ben does is from me as well.
Yeah, but we're both successful. So, you know, it's. I'm not saying anybody's wrong. Right, because there's really no wrong or no right. You've been successful at that. You've been catching fish. You get the bigger, lazier fish, and I agree.
It takes
with
me a long time because there's only like usually one or two. I'm not going after multiples all day long. I'm going after that one.
Yeah, you're strategically targeting fish, sight casting. You know, but I have the complete opposite tactic that redfish are lazy. Right, they want an easy meal. They're a bigger, badder fish that can take some of the wind pressure, the wave pressure, and get that easy meal of those smaller bait fish that are being pushed up by the wind and waves on that windward shoreline. To where I think we have the same thing, just different shoreline. Is there a right or wrong then?
No, there is not. There is not. That's what's crazy about redfish. Is and we can confuse the hell out of people all day
well
long.
You say windward or leeward?
Well, okay. So those of all you right, that are listening that don't understand windward or leeward, windward is the shoreline that's getting beat by the wind. Leeward is the shoreline that's protected. A lot of times you'll find slow, lazy cruising redfish, singles, not groups, not schools, but singles. Cruising on the leeward shoreline. Springtime is a great time to find those singles cruising on the leeward shoreline.
I think the common denominator, I can't do this. I think the common denominator is we're talking about wind. In the spring,
it turns.
you have to plan according to the way the wind is blowing on where, how, which shoreline you are going to attack that
and
day.
I don't know about Matt and Corey. I don't know about you, but I don't follow the thought or premise that redfish have to go to deeper water in order to maintain their body temperature. There's a lot of guys that say, oh, I'll go sit into a deep gut and wait for the big mamas and big daddies to get there. You know what? There's just fish there, bro. You just happened to get there and there were fish there.
Yeah.
They're still back in the cow trails. They're still cruising in the shallow water, too.
I agree with you on that.
Now, I got a question to follow up with that, if that helps.
Yeah, go ahead.
So does your speed of reeling in a lure or your presentation might change, because low and slow for wintertime, a little faster pace for spring, is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, wintertime I'm slow rolling a lot. And I love to throw a rattle. I love to put, in fact, there's a guy out there right now that's actually building soft plastics that have rattles built into the tails. I'm not sure who it is. But you can get worm rattles from pretty much any online retailer, and just throw it inside the plastic, man. And I seal it, so I'll use a lighter to seal the plastic back up. But a little rattle inside that plastic and slow rolling on the bottom really will get their attention.
I'm
in colder water.
I'm slow rolling all the time. I just like slow rolling.
No, man. Once that water temperature heats up, it is crankbait time. I want something to smash my bait hard and almost rip the rod and reel out of my hand. So a crankbait, once the weather starts to warm up, I'm hitting, Is it
still the 70-72? Is that when you're pulling out the crankbaits?
So the last time I had extremely successful days with crankbaits were March, but it was warmer than it is now. Yeah, we were getting up into the 80s.
You know what I love about this, right, is that I have never in my life thought, put a rattle and seal it with a lighter.
It's great, man.
And that's what I wrote down. Rattles. And if you guys are watching, that's what I wrote down and showed him. I said, seal with the lighter 10 plus. Like, that's what makes fishing great. You can always continue to learn.
The rattle falls out over time.
Yeah, well,
the plastic will push it out like your skin pushes out a thorn.
I'm going to seal it with the lighter now. I'm going to try that. See what's happening. Instead of buying some jig heads that have rattles built in, I can make something special.
So the plastic worm rattles stay a little bit better. Glass ones sound better than the plastic, but they don't stay inside as easily.
Austin, if I can chime in on your follow-up question.
That was Corey's follow-up question.
That was Austin's.
Oh, was it?
That was Austin's.
Yeah.
Man, hey, you guys sound exactly the same. Y'all could be like twinsies online.
Stay slow. And I'll keep it
we'll try that, Chris.
I'll keep it slow or keep it short. I'll say stay slow until you start seeing redfish crashing shorelines.
There.
Yeah.
Until you can see them actively feeding, actively, aggressively feeding. If you're casting and retrieving blindly or blind casting, right, you don't see the redfish and purposely try to put it in front of its face, I would reel a slower presentation versus summertime to where you can really burn, you know, a swim bait or something.
That's
gotcha.
We're going to confuse the hell out of you right now because you can also use that same tactic after a major.
Oh, you're talking about Murphy's signing off. He doesn't listen to any of that crap. Get out there and fish.
Let's take
the mic off.
Let's
major doesn't mean nothing to Matt Murphy.
Matt, just take a drink.
Let's say they've had a heavy feeding period, okay? No, no. Okay, tell me something. Okay. Tell me something, Matt. Okay, on a full moon, do fish feed more at night, and will you get up later to fish during the day?
Yes. Yeah. My answer is yes. I get up later in the day. Yes.
If it has anything to do with fishing later in the day?
No, I will. If it's a full moon and I can't get out, right? So if something's happened and I've got work or...
No. Take that out of the equation. Right. Full moon. The wolves didn't come out and attack your insurance holders.
So I will say this. I'm not looking at the moon phase at all.
Really?
Really? If I know tomorrow I have an opportunity to wake up okay. at 3:30 or 4 or 5 or 7 or 8.
You never look at it.
I don't look at any of that.
I always take a look.
And the reason I don't is because that tournament can land on every given day.
Certainly.
Right? And I need to know that if I'm going to this place or this place, because I'm on the water,
moon phase affects tides.
Moon phase affects tides. I look at the tide chart and I can see, well, heck, if it's a low tide, it's going to be even better. I don't got to search for them, right? At least where I fish. But I'm not looking at full moon. I'm not looking at
there is a major feeding time.
I know.
When fish and game are more active.
What are the cows doing? That's what I want to know.
That's a good one.
I want to know what the cows are doing.
Well, Damon Hubbs, that was on my show once, talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where he talked about cows.
If they're laying down,
and
it's going to be a lazy day.
Fish and deep.
Example.
Yeah.
I believe there is some correlation to it.
There is.
Why?
But it's not a science. It's bro science.
It is.
They
real.
Eat grass. The grass
not,
is
not,
not
the cow,
going
not
anywhere.
The cow. Not the cow.
There's no
okay.
tide. There's no tide. It's grass. It's not moving.
You see what happened?
It's there.
You see what happened here? Corey left. He signed off.
So
Corey's back. Here, let me bring Corey back.
But what
back
I'm saying
on.
Is I don't look at that because I have an opportunity to fish.
And no,
I think
no,
what
for
makes
sure.
me a better fisherman is being able to adapt to non-prime feeding times or
okay.
whatever else you called it.
So they're not an exact science.
No.
Prime and or major and minor feeding times are not an exact science. But let's say you've witnessed a major feeding time happen right before your eyes, okay? You saw redfish were super active for like an hour and a half, and then they just shut down. We've all seen it before.
Then okay. you just put it in front of their face five more times, and then they bite.
This is when the slow roll starts to come in for a summer pattern. After they've eaten, and they're now sitting down in that mud, they mm-hmm. bedded down, they need that warmth to help activate the enzymes and the bacteria to get everything moving
yeah, right.
through. Right? So you know that they're there,
yeah.
but they're not going to bite. A slow roll from a winter pattern when they're lethargic, it's the same thing. In the winter, they're lethargic. They're sitting in
See?
The mud. They need something to entice them to bite. Now
so does that slow roll that you're talking about, does that trigger a reaction strike when you're slow rolling it at fish that have just fed? Because they're not feeding, so is it just a reaction strike? It's there, they're going to take it?
Reaction strike during the summertime. During the wintertime, it's actually they are sort of stunned and not so active. Redfish, not so much, though.
Well, you know, that slow roll, I'm going to jump in real quick, because I like the slow roll almost all year round, because during the summer, I'm trying to catch flounder slow rolling. Mm. That slow roll, it causes a big disturbance. It's thumping the bottom. You're bouncing off oysters.
Mud.
You're throwing mud boils. You're throwing, you're hitting grass. You're causing a bigger disturbance with that slow roll than you are burning. And if you get that in front of a redfish, it's going to react because redfish are dumb. Because we've
right.
talked about it so many times. Like, redfish yeah. are dumb and they're going to react. And if you slow yeah. roll it in front of them, you make a big mud puff. They're just like, I got to eat that. That's something that I want. So
yeah.
for me, that's kind of why I slow roll almost all year round. If I'm, because during the summer, if I catch flounder instead of redfish, that's cool.
I'm gonna
stuff it with some boudin. Like, I'm out there to enjoy myself, but also I don't mind
and
catching flounder.
Feed my belly.
Exactly.
You know, I think you and I may have the same thought process, right? And you're correlating it to the major and minor, right? I know when I've run across redfish.
I see it. Sometimes it happens over here. Sometimes it happens over here.
It does. And all this may be occurring, right? This may be occurring unbeknownst to me. Someone looking at a nap, finding the major and minor. When I'm out
there. I used to look at the Fisherman's Almanac.
That's because you're old. It's because you're old.
Use
Rand McNally to get across country.
Yeah. What's that? Right. I think you're like 5 years older than me. Whatever. You know, when I see fish bedded down and stuck in the mud and enzymes are digesting before they make your sound effect again. Yeah, before they do that. You know, that's what I call redfish you're running over with a kayak, right? Because they're dumb at that point, right? You could scare redfish, but when they're in this zone
where they're
minor or in between minors and you can basically run them over, I've found that you can still get them to bite.
After right? you spook them.
No,
no, no, no. At this moment, like what he's talking about, it's hard. Once you spook them, it's hard to get them to bite.
Yeah. This would be you didn't spook it, follow it, and throw it, you know, in front of its face because it's still actively feeding. This is like
it
he's
was
almost
chilling.
Dead to the world. Yeah. Just chilling. He literally bumped the top of your kayak and then spooked out and ran 5 feet. You know, I find, Austin, you can still catch those, but you just have to be one bothersome.
Persistent son of a
persistent
bitch.
SOB.
Yeah.
That's what you got to be. And you can get them to bite, and I think it's more
yeah.
of not, it's more of an investigational bite, right? Like, why is this fish
mm-hmm.
or bait fish on your hook running in front of my face 5 times without it running over my back?
Bros.
They don't have thumbs, so all they can do is bite it with their mouth, and that's when you just go.
That is how they investigate.
Yeah.
So, I was in Louisiana in, where the hell was I?
But you got to see them.
Grand Isle, and there were 2 redfish, bulls, and they were just cruising in this small little canal.
Moving, though.
They were moving.
All right.
Okay. They had no pattern. They weren't going east to west, north to south. They were just.
They weren't going against the wind.
They weren't going against the wind.
They weren't facing the wind.
The rest of them, all the ones that I caught.
They were.
No. So
no, there's also redfish will face the wind.
So yes, Chris is convinced, and I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes that redfish will
face
their
nose. He's not really done
into the wind.
They will face their nose into the wind.
Always.
Yeah.
They will always face their nose.
So the best thing to do is keep the wind at your back. And fish with the wind at your back. So in this particular, hey, oh, did you grab me one or you grab more shots?
Oh Lord.
Good Lord.
Guys, we have Austin and Corey with us. Thank you guys so much for joining us. It's gonna get real crowded. We have another bro staffer here, Max.
Austin,
Max
Corey,
wants to come on and ask a question.
Did we help out any?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you guys.
Corey,
I know it's a lot. It's
I'm sorry. We may
no, you're good.
Corey, because he's friends with
and
Matt,
fish, man.
And we can't help that. We can't help him with that.
Corey's a hell of a fisherman.
There you go.
I was inebriated the last time.
But thank you guys for joining us.
More of our trophies.
We are going to bring on Max. Max has a question also about springtime
Austin,
redfish.
Thank you, sir.
But
yeah,
thank
you
guys for joining us. Max, what is up, my man?
Is this Max?
What's up, guys?
Max Jaramillo.
Oh, what up?
So, Max,
how's it going? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So, one of Max's first kayaking adventures was with me, man.
Sure was.
A long time ago. and he probably thought I left him, but honestly,
you left him.
I had to go find a duck blind.
you had to find a duck blind to use the restroom. So we were talking a lot about spring tactics and slow rolling and everything, and Max had a question about baits. Go ahead, Max.
Hold on. Let me fix this light.
There you go. There you
are, Max. We see him. Okay. There we go. Yeah, my question was kind of along with Austin. He was talking about slow rolling, and I said I do that too. And one of my favorite baits right now is the Slayer Ink, the little paddle tail that they have, the sinister swim tail, and has a really big tail. And my question was, slow rolling, would you rather go with a large tail like I have, or go with something like the Down South Lures as a smaller tail?
About to blow your mind and change everything that you're doing.
Can I answer first?
Sure.
Go with two tails.
You're gonna get three.
Go with a double tail.
Go with
a Goldman and Shrimp double tail.
Bro, hey, so I used to use something called an auger tail, and it was double tailed, but I use that whenever I'm running across the top of grass. Because it
creates like a crawfish.
It's little props behind it.
All right, so blow his mind now that I said use a double tail.
Gulp paddle tails. They're brand spanking new, and they are friggin' amazing.
And
they
have a bigger tail.
Completely different than any other gulp ever made. They will blow your mind, dude. If you want some, come grab some from my garage. I'll give some to you.
But
awesome.
They have the bigger tail. It's,
they do.
It's
like a die dapper.
Yeah, it has a really
Don't say that, man.
Skinny,
that turns me on.
Coming out of the body, it's a really skinny going to the tail, but the actual tail is a pretty substantial tail.
Man, the first time that I used them, I tested the theory of a fish reacting to a bait behind it, whether or not it could feel the vibration through its lateral line, and if it's going to turn around and eat my bait.
You see him turn?
Every single time. Really? It was amazing, man. 20 fish plus that day. So you're talking about slow rolling. You're wondering if the tail,
the action, yeah,
right, if it actually matters. Okay, so I talked about putting a rattle inside the plastic for slow rolling during the winter time. So you want to create as much vibration and disturbance as you possibly can whenever you're slow rolling. Rattles, big paddle tails,
double tails.
I think, doesn't the guy who makes the knock and tail lure, doesn't he have another lure that, like, the old one he had where you put the foam, in there, and it has, like, the regular paddle tail, and underneath had, like, a little dangly tail?
Oh, you're talking about the one that looks like a little penis sticking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't say that.
It's late night. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday. I know
is
we're
it
on.
Really?
Yes. I know we're on God. ACK site. We're on the Bro Staff site. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday.
Okay.
So you guys should be able to handle.
So it does. I
know
which one you're
talking
about.
Lures is
controlled
is
descent.
There you go.
Yeah.
The controlled descent.
Yeah. Has an extra tail.
I don't think. I think that was a gimmick. In my opinion, I'm sorry, dude, if you're listening and you're offended by me saying that. That's my opinion. And my opinion alone, I don't think that a lure with a penis helps.
An extra tail, not a double tail.
Max,
an extra tail.
Do you mind if I ask what type of jig head or lure, or not lure, jig head or swim bait hook you use?
Let's see. There's two. Well, there's three now. Well, first I would use the iStrike jig head. That's an old favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. And then I started using the actual weedless jig head from Slayer. And then because y'all guys talk a lot about Berkeley, and then I fish with Alex Allen Jr. He fishes those Berkeleys a lot, the new ones that Chris talked about.
The Berkeley Fusion.
Those hold on to the bait really well. The 28-inch redfish. What's that?
What size jig head or hook are you using? Are you using like a 3-4, or if you're using
it was a
one that's like, I don't know, past the jig head itself, about an inch.
Jig head or swim bait?
Well, it depends. If you're using a swim bait hook, what size swim bait hook are you using, or jig head? What size jig head are you using?
Most of the time, I'm using a 3-0. A 3-0, and I like to use 3/16 ounce, but that Berkeley one that I got was the 1/4 ounce.
Okay. So,
and then that 28 inch redfish that I posted, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and that was cut on that Berkeley.
Would you agree
that new Fusion jig head?
When you're slow rolling, you want to use like 1/8.
Well, first, if you posted a 28-inch redfish on the Book of Faces, Max, congratulations. I bet you it was pretty freaking awesome.
It was a nice.
It was like,
and he wasn't high sticking it in the picture either. I was proud of Max.
That was a dig at me, man, because I'm always like
Spider-Man.
Max, this is my opinion, right? Obviously, you know both these guys, so you probably fish this water, right? But when it comes to slow rolling and size of bait, size of jig head, I think there's a correlation between the two, right? If you use like a 5-inch swim bait and you use a 4-0, 5-0 hook, that hook or how that hook sits in that swim bait is going to lessen some of that wobble action that you get, right?
So you shouldn't have to stretch. You shouldn't have to stretch your
right.
Well, but a five inch will sit well with a 4-0 or a 5-0, but it sits really good with a 3-0.
So say I'll use the example. If you know, if you use a 5-0 on a die dapper,
a big die dapper.
Well, yeah, the normal die dapper. That's gonna be.
Are those 4 inches?
This is not
a
die
dapper.
Normal die dapper is 5 inches, right?
Yeah, it's either 5, 5.5. It's a big
okay.
swim bait, right? The longer your hook or your jig head is, the less. And I don't know if you can see what my hand is doing. Live.
I can see what you're doing. Yeah.
The less tail wobble.
Not only wobble, but body
get.
Too.
Well, the die dapper does both.
Right.
Right. So you'll find, depending on what you're throwing, depending on if it's got that cavity in the middle, depending on what it's made out of, it's a really, really hard bait. You'll either get that wobble like this, right, as you're going,
mm-hmm.
or you'll get just the tail action. I find if I'm slow rolling and I want a bigger fish to commit, I'll shorten the size of my hook. So if I'm normally using 5 in the summer, I'll go down to like a 3-0 owner swim bait hook. So that way I get more of the action of the plastic, right? You don't have to have as much speed. You can have a little bit of speed,
end
of that soft plastic is just going to be badonkadonk back and forth. I think if you put a longer jig head or longer swim bait hook, depending on what size plastic you use, you're going to have to crank down harder on your reel speed to get that same action on that lure. So if you're trying to slow roll, shorten your shank or shorten your hook just a hair, because you can use the same amount of energy to get way more vibration in the water.
So
that's just my opinion.
And slow rolling, a lot of times,
along with a pop,
we're thinking about slow rolling through mud.
Yeah, that's fine.
Not so much slow rolling over shell.
That's fine.
So it's okay to use a jig head versus a swim bait hook.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Either one, but you can get short shank jig heads.
Well,
but
it's hard to find short shank swim bait hooks.
You get well. You, you
Oh, like most of the time I'm using the
go ahead,
Matt. Most of the time I'm using the jig head. Like and like the I agree with your philosophy, Matt, because the eye stripe jig head that I use is the trout eye, which is the 2-aught hook. And like during the summer I use like a 3-inch or a 3.5-inch paddle tail. And then like you said, like I think the Sinister Swim Tail XL is 4 inches and I was using that 3-aught hook and it comes out, you know, in the first.
Why switch to a 3-inch paddle tail?
Well, the 3.5-inch in the summertime, that was just like my confidence bait. And I wasn't ever really confident with like the larger paddle tail.
No, I think that's good, man. I'll tell you one thing. You'll hear different philosophies from all of us, right?
Yeah.
So it, I can tell you my experience, but what I want you to hone in on is you said something very important, which was confidence. That's your confidence. You are going to catch more fish on your confidence bait, regardless of what we say or anybody else says.
Because you're going to throw it more often.
Because you know
it's
you're going to
in the water more often because that's what you're confident throwing.
Hey, check this out. So I took
and you know how to work it.
I took this guy from Norway fishing for his very first yak experience. And we just went out to Confederate Reef. These guys know what Confederate Reef is. Matt, you might know what it is. His very first cast with a 2-inch gulp grub, he caught a 34-inch black ugly. It took him forever
That's awesome.
To get that fish in. So I'm sitting here saying, I never switch from a 5-inch bait.
Yeah.
I love throwing 5-inch baits. I do, unless under a poplin cork. 2-inch baits just do just as well, man. You just got to know how to wiggle it.
Now, you asked the question earlier about throwing a heavier jig head.
No, I scoffed. I scoffed at the 3/4
like
ounce or whatever.
You were like a quarter ounce, ounce. But if you're slow rolling and you're trying to cause as much disturbance as possible, a quarter ounce is gonna make a bigger poof.
Unnatural, man.
Then
it looks like it's just dragging.
Unnatural. You're throwing a dye dapper with a chartreuse tail. Give me one.
Show me one bait fish that goes
Max.
A dying
this
one.
Is mm-hmm. what say,
a
if
dying
you can hear me
bait
over
fish.
Hurt my fingers, man.
I can hear you.
Okay. I would say go to next time you go to the store if you've got in your garage, try shorter shank, try a longer shank. Just next to your kayak, next to the boat.
And see which one looks better.
And see what that wobble looks like at a lower speed. And then make the decision.
So, Max, check this out. I'm sorry, man.
No.
Berkeley does make a Fusion 19 jig head in a 2-aught and a 1-aught.
What are you putting on it with the 1-aught, though? The grubs? The little grubs?
That hurt my fingers.
You put a 1-aught on a 5-inch.
I put 2-aughts on a 5-inch, man.
Like, man, the thing I can get in rock bar, I can get a 3.
I should have brought you
but
some
I need
baits,
something
man. I've
that's
got some shit
that's
off the chain.
Can be weedless, though. I can't have an open face jig head like
now,
you guys can.
Yeah, and I was going to ask. That was going to be my next question for you guys. How often are you not throwing weedless? Because I've kind of gotten into the habit and the routine of I'm putting weedless on all the time, no matter where I'm fishing. I'm just throwing on
so
weedless.
So I haven't figured out a way to throw weedless under a bobbin cork.
Well, you know what I mean. If you're
but
throwing
I want
on
to.
A jig head
you
and
use
a paddle tail.
Swim bait hook under a bobbin cork, and it works just the same.
I haven't
you
had as good
it.
A success because I use a smaller shrimp under my
But when you're
cork.
Throwing
Max.
A swim bait, how often are you throwing a regular jig head compared to how often are you
I
throwing
never,
weedless?
I never throw a regular jig head.
I don't either anymore. I'm always throwing weedless.
You get better action on a weedless swim bait.
Well, I think you get better action, and I don't know how close I got to get. right? And I think any of the fish that we target, right? What is that?
You guys were talking about wobble. I wanted to wobble with y'all. I had a wobble jib.
I think any of the fish that we target,
wobble, baby, wobble.
If you're catching a 20 through 28 redfish, which is what I target, or you're catching, you know, trout are a different story altogether. But they have enough jaw force that if you embed the hook in any soft plastic, their bite down strength.
Yeah, it's enough.
It's enough to push
pop that hook out.
Not on that frog, though.
That's a different story. I'll tell you something here in a bit. Or maybe not this episode, but. It doesn't matter. You can embed it an eighth of an inch. Like, you embed that thing in a weedless hook, you're going to save yourself misery.
I was
going to
bring you all my frogs, man.
Dude, bring all your frogs. That's me trying to cover that.
Bring your frogs.
But no, if you're trying to target fish like Max's that he posted on Facebook, that I'll have. Max, please tag me in that. If we're not friends, let's become friends.
Oh, we're friends. I'll tag you in it.
Yeah, tag me in it.
Max, are you fishing cats?
Yes.
No.
He's got a
the first one
position that he's got to be at. But he's gonna be in Rockport, right? You're gonna be in Rockport.
Yes. Yeah. All right,
my man. But yeah, embed everything. I don't want to say quit using jig heads if that's what you do, but I can guarantee you, slot fish can easily pull through any plastic. And it will save you headache of getting caught on weeds or oyster shells or anything else.
Hey, guys, you know, we have had a freaking fantastic show.
Hold on.
Whoa, before
you
we still got
it,
2 hours.
Wait.
Oh.
Answer's question. Big tail or little tail? We never answered
just
his
throw
question.
A dye dapper. I'm not sponsored by saltwater.
Large tail.
The larger the paddle tail, the better. You're going to have more action off of a big tail off the bat.
Large tail.
What is that? Awesome.
Large tail. Double tail.
Size matters, baby.
Science.
Hey.
Oh.
I just heard size, and I was like, yeah, size matters, baby. Yeah. Check this out, though. So one of the largest tails that we used to have was TTF. The TTF trout killer was a big tail. But at first, it didn't work because the plastic was so friggin' stiff.
Yeah.
So they had to corrugate or cut little channels into the plastic to help it work. Now the damn tail falls off. So
it's like Gambler.
Gambler is like a big fan.
Yeah.
You know, so whenever it gets in the water, it's just like.
And I know that you guys know that we're sponsored by Pure Fishing, but
that
new Galt paddle shad.
Have you fished with them?
They're awesome.
Have you fished with them yet?
I have no
affiliation
with Pure Fishing aside from.
Do you like Galt?
My buddies.
Do you like Galt?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Would you fish
Let
with
me
a
tell
swim
my story.
Bait Galt?
Let me tell my story. So I went out there and I bought a 5-pack of these new paddle tails.
Did you?
Right? Yeah, the white ones. The new paddle tails.
Why's it gotta be white, man?
Well, cause it's either light or dark, right? That's
so
what
I went out
area.
There and I bought.
Oh, I can hear myself on.
Sorry, microphone. Sorry.
It's all right, man. Max. Come on, Max.
Come on,
you know
man.
Better. Than
sorry.
That. So I went out there and bought a 5-pack of that, and it looks like I'm taking some home.
Oh, what? He's going to jack your shit, folks.
No, that's where you're looking.
Right, I'm recently, I want to thank Pure Fishing. I want to thank ACK, Hobie Fishing Team.
Those are for you to look at.
What else we got here?
You can look at those.
I want to thank Penn.
Hand me those right there, man.
No, but I went out and bought some of these, right? A 5-pack. And I went to the Walmart. I paid like, I don't know, $6.50.
Went to the Walmart.
$6.99.
Okay, so dude, in Rockport,
dude,
all we
you
got
not
is Walmart.
Open that at the Chateau de Turner.
Anyways, I bought those, and I'm a fan of paddle tails. And as he's showing those off, with the two that I used in the area that I was fishing, it was like every third cast I was bringing in a trout. Does that have something to do with the scent? It must have, because I either throw light or dark. I'm either throwing white or I'm throwing black or something to that extent. So I would highly recommend them.
Well, you see what I brought out. I have white and chartreuse and then like Morning Glory and chartreuse and then black and silver and chartreuse.
See, I had like just pure white, but I'm going to steal one of those before I leave your house.
Those are the only color paddle tails. I just like a really light or a really dark. And it depends on the water clarity on what I'm throwing out there.
I think there's something to it, Max. And
well, the light and the dark.
I'm a firm believer of.
Yeah, I picked up on that. Like you had a Tackle Talk Tuesday a little while back, and I was listening, and you were like, I throw white or I throw dark, and I was like, all right, and I started like slimming down my plastics, having like, you know, that white and chartreuse tail, and then I have like my Morning Glory or something that we use a lot here is like the Texas Roach, which is the black and the gold flake on the bottom, and then I'll throw like a something in the middle, like some of the purple. You know, the what's it called? It's like purple and has like a
Morning Glory.
Morning Glory. No, he already talked about Morning Glory.
Oh, okay.
Well, Max, first, thanks for being a listener of Tackle Talk Tuesday. I appreciate that.
And a bro staff member.
Absolutely.
And an ACK syndicate.
And
like
a future,
Max is everywhere.
Cats
Max is everywhere.
Dude, I don't know why Max never called me after the first time we fished with me.
Because you left him.
That it's actually par for the course. Most people don't call me again after they fish with me the first time.
Max, I hope we helped with your question.
You did.
If we didn't, feel free to message us. But okay, we did. Good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Max, I'm going to take you out of the studio. We've been here for over 2 hours. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday. I just want to thank all the bro staff for being a part of this. Everybody that listens to Tackle Talks Tuesday. Everybody over at ACK, Pin Fishing, Abu Garcia, Berkeley, Ugly Stick,
Bait Butler.
Bait Butler. Guys, this is from the mobile Bait Butler studio.
Dude, they did such a good job hooking us up with the most amazing studio equipment.
Yes, and I think we got it right. Don't touch the board after we're done.
We can tape
it. Leave it there.
We can tape it.
Leave it like it is. Matt, you got anything you want to say before we get off here, man?
No, I'm happy to be here. I mean, thanks. I know we've all become friends over the time. But, you know, I appreciate you guys having me on your show. I appreciate ACK.
Once every 3 months, dude.
Fish cats. Fish cats.
I want to hope everybody that watches fishes cats saltwater. Cat's fresh water, whatever your poison is. Hobie, again, ACK, Texas Power Paddle, some of the people that support me in my ventures. But at the end of the day, we're nothing without you guys that are watching.
For sure.
So we appreciate you guys tuning in and taking what we say again with a grain of salt. It works for us, but at the end of the day, we really just want you to get out there and fish. So. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
You know how weird it would be if there was no interaction and we were just staring into this light ring in this camera?
I've been there.
It would be super awkward.
Well,
I can imagine
you
it'd be
are,
like Chris.
But we're on the sides.
I know, we're looking at each other talking the whole time. So, now, thank you guys again for allowing me to be on here today, for you having me at the, what did you call this studio?
This is the Bait Butler Studio.
The Bait Butler Studio. Bait Butler, thank you.
At the Chateau de Turner.
Chateau.
Hopefully next time y'all be at House de Lewis.
House de Lewis, yes.
That'd be fun.
We're going to have to do some fishing.
Or at El Rockporto de Day. Yeah, we can go to Copenhagen Bay. I'll take you out on the first trip across.
I'm down. It looks like T-Rail and Corey are going to hook up for cats.
Hey.
That's good, man.
Hey.
Join it, Corey.
And everybody that's listening for cats, I'm just throwing it out
this
there.
This is the first time I've looked at what's going on here.
I know. There's a bunch.
I look like a friggin' bum.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Why didn't you tell me I look like a friggin' bum?
Because this
I look like I just got dragged up off the street.
This is how you always look.
Shit.
But I'm just throwing it out there. Houston, you guys better represent. I'm taking H-Town. I'm taking H-Town on my back.
I hope so.
You guys better show up. I'm not fishing at all. I'm not fishing at all. But H-Town, you guys better show up.
Nobody's scared of that.
For the May 1st, but the Rockport tournament, we got to go down to Rockport and we got to show those guys how to fish their own waters. We got to show them how to fish their own waters.
That's all I'm saying.
Because redfish are dumb.
I'm just saying.
Hook me up with your veteran dude. And
I will never share David Habadier with anybody. You got to take a veteran
out. That's just selfish. It's just selfish. Guys, we really appreciate you joining us. Catch us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio.
Matt Murphy Outdoors.
Matt Murphy Outdoors. Check out Cats, ACK.
Hey, guys, Matt Murphy Outdoors
Real sportswear.
Is now part of what's going on here. I mean, you can catch him here every 3 months.
Every 3 months.
Sweet.
Every 3 months.
I like it.
Guys, we appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining us. We will see you guys later.
Peace.
Peace.